this information to you this afternoon. I gathered this information on my second trip to the Philippines with an outreach group of a multidisciplinary team, and I said, while I was over there the first time, I noticed some trends and thought maybe the second time there, I could take some of that data back and make a presentation of that particular trip. I put this slide up here because it kind of gives you the snapshot of what a whirlwind trip can be. The first shot in the corner there is of the trip from Chicago to the Philippines. On the back of the little seat in the airline, actually, you can track your own flight of where you are, and that was kind of the last stage, and I took a snapshot of it. Below that, you see the conditions under which we were working, not exactly appropriate illumination, and the vision chart hanging from whatever we could find to hang it from, and the Filipino streets, the sight that you see from the buses traveling on the way to some of these different outreaches in that particular town. We were in Manila and then a province just north of Manila. And then I said the Filipino star because as we were walking the equipment in, people kept looking and pointing, and I thought they were pointing at me, and one of my colleagues said, yes, they are pointing at you. They had big banners over the city to announce this outreach program, and the banners were pictures from the last trip that we were there, and right over here, I'm refracting in the clinic there. There's a little boy behind the phoropter there, and I was doing the exam, and because that was a larger picture of this big conglomerate, they could recognize me as I walked down the street. So the team was multidisciplinary, and you can see from the list here, we took everyone, pediatricians, general medicine practitioners, dentistry, myself as an optometrist, surgeons, pharmacists, and then I call them the people that you can't do anything without. You cannot make one of these trips without the people that are there, that are listed there, the construction workers, the retired educators, equipment specialists, daycare workers, makeup artists, and interpreters. The reason that, in some of them, it makes sense. A construction worker will set you up and do what they need to get the facilities up and running. The makeup artist, well, what can she do? Believe it or not, when you go into these third world countries and you're treating children in orphanages, they haven't had a haircut in a long time. They have issues with lice and things like that, and she worked harder than I did on this trip. And actually give the kids something, you know, just that little bit of, you know how good you feel when you have a new haircut or your face is washed. And she did a marvelous job at doing that. She's also my link to that, you know, 7 degrees of separation from somebody famous. She was my data collector on the trip. She worked with me in conjunction on this project. And actually she's the makeup artist for Channel 7 News in Chicago. The local partners, we visited Hope Hospital, was the local non-for-profit hospital that partnered with us while we were there. We spent some time at an American-run orphanage, and then the barrio outreaches were in the communities, and then we had a host church that put us up and took us where we needed to go. As far as supplies, what really made sense for this group was to purchase medicine and supplies locally in the Philippines because the money went further than to buy it here and ship it over there. Some of the donated materials I thought was phenomenal because one of the people that was on the trip was the vice president for purchasing at Central DuPage Hospital outside of Chicago, and he called in a lot of favors and was able to procure a lot of equipment that some of the surgeons needed for this particular trip, including a BIO and lenses and everything that I would need. The needs in the country itself, you know, if you think of them as very basic, they need food, shelter, and safety. And health care is a luxury. Preventative health care is not even a consideration for the most part for the people that we were serving. Technically, if you look at the Filipino propaganda, they tell you that it was based on the U.S. Medicare system. But the truth is that the benefits aren't really widely understood in the country itself because they don't sit around and watch TV or have the same access to information that we have here in the States. And once you do sign up for the services, there's a waiting period to get on the Medicare system. So it's a little bit different, even though it may be based on our system. In the orphanage, there were 55 children in the orphanage, and you can see from the pictures, I did my best to do a screening. Now, you could argue with the way that I screened as far as the methodology used, but something in a way is better than nothing. And you can see here, those are the different components of the exam that I gave at the orphanage. Of those 55 students, what struck me was there really was a need when you looked at the students participating there. Three had spectacle correction, but two of them were just recently given glasses, and their prescriptions were such that they definitely had refractive amblyopia, both of them bilateral refractive amblyopia. Very, very sad to see a 16-year-old who's really bright, but visual acuity best corrected 20/70, 20/80 because of the amount of myopia and astigmatism that was present there. My screening yielded the need for 13 other corrections, typically myopia, some astigmatism, and a less degree of hyperopia. I was actually able to send those prescriptions back with the help of Rosen Optical from the location where I'm working out of. We spent 2 days in the hospital system, and again, what struck me, the patients were recruited via the signs, via, you know, going out into the community and telling them that there were free services. But yet, in those two days in the hospital, I saw no children. Of all the patients that came through, no children were brought in for vision care. Obviously, the cataracts were the main disease population, and the cataracts were so strong that you could hardly see anything else. When I did have opportunity to look in the back of the eye and notice some signs of glaucoma or something like that, the next question would be, well, what do you do from here? And I put this picture up for those of you who are clinicians in the audience. They were very excited to say, oh, yes, you can measure pressure, and they handed me a Shiot's tonometer in paper that was crinkled and nearly falling apart. I hadn't used the Shiot's tonometer since optometry school, and then it was a demonstration. It wasn't actually using a Shiot's tonometer. In the barrio, this is where the data actually comes from, because we went out and screened in the barrio. And in the barrio, once again, it was overwhelmingly adults that came through in need of reading glasses, and the children that I saw on this experience were referred from my American pediatrician colleagues. Again, in the barrio, limited ability, and you can say what you want about what I did. I had a VA chart and handheld equipment as long as the battery would sustain it. And some glasses from volunteers. Again, in the barrio, people were with us, the pediatricians, internists, dentists, and the pharmacy. The first 100 patients were what I collected the data on. It was kind of the random, these are the first patients that showed up earliest in the morning for care. 98% were adults. The two children referred in after seeing the pediatrician in line. And both of them had some form of corneal disease. There was, at that point, nothing that could be done. Long-standing injury had occurred for both of them. The females outnumbered males. You can see 94-6. And some, you know, when you think about it, why were so many females at the screening? Well, they were bringing in their children. They were the caregivers. They were the ones that were able to come. And this was a daytime screening. So if you were a male or a father in that environment, you weren't necessarily going to take a day off of work to go to the doctor. The other issue is that sometimes in these communities, the men are absent. They are taken and sent to other places in the country for employment for months at a time, maybe weeks at a time, and then come back. So that may explain why there was a preponderance for females. The aging trends, there again, average age of 45, a good range of other ages present, though. The refractive trends, everyone wanted reading glasses. Hyperopia and presbyopia. When the myopia was present, what struck me was that it wasn't a minus one or a minus two, it was a minus eight or a minus 10 with a good degree of cylinder present as well. When you looked at the vision versus the other groups that were there, dentistry saw an awful lot more patients, and one of the reasons was that people came in with pain. You could tell the ones that were there to see the dentist because they had their own hanky and they were covering their mouth. They knew that they wanted a tooth pulled. As far as the pharmacy, there was a little bit of a need to get something from the American doctors that had come, and if the pharmacy was giving out vitamins, then the line for pharmacy was very long. And the pediatricians were also busy because there had been some information given to the community that it was very important that your children receive vitamins. And so they would bring in healthy children, yet they wanted vitamins from the pharmacy. Again, general medicine, if you were in pain, you expected to receive something. It was very interesting that over 4,300 patients were seen over the 4 days, but on my end, and in what I did, I saw far fewer patients than that. One problem, of course, is that vision is just not something they expect that as they age, they will be unable to see. And in their school system, the children who have, if you have money, you go to a good private school and you get the care and your parents can afford to take you and have your eyes examined and you receive the care. Whereas if you're in the government system, your kid doesn't see. It really doesn't become an issue in school because children aren't given a desk, some papers and pencils, and asked to see at that point. So it's just an expectation of what the community sees. In conclusions or considerations, you know, this is it's a cultural thing. That was my impression as to why children were not screened at this point. And of course, the access to care and the cost of the care becomes a factor, even though care as a whole in the Philippines is quite inexpensive. It's okay to drink the water, but watch your vegetables, because I had my own personal experience with the Filipino health care system. Having been very careful about drinking bottled water, I was given a meal, and it was safe, it was cooked, the vegetables were not brought up to temperature, and I had traveler's diarrhea, as they say, and ended up experiencing the hospital for myself. It is ability to pay. They ask when you come in the door how you will be paying. They take your money, and then you get care. And you have 2 days in the hospital in a very luxurious suite, more luxurious than the hotel here, believe me. The hospital was incredible. Cost me $200. I think when you want to do one of these outreaches, it becomes very interesting in that your perspective does change. You do become more aware of public health issues. For example, why did everybody in the line at one location come through and have hypertension? And why were their teeth so hard to pull out? Well, they were chewing on little coffee beans. The coffee beans were their food. The coffee bean had the caffeine stimulant, pushed up the blood pressure, and made the dentist's job really hard to yank out the teeth. What could we have done? Well, you go back and educate, and you look at that situation from a public health perspective. When you get back to the United States, are you a more compassionate doctor? All my friends that were on this trip said no. You actually realize that people have access to care and that you have so much here that you sometimes get agitated when people don't take advantage of what's here for them. So you have to be creative, expect the unexpected, and then a special thanks to the group that organized this trip, Calvary Church in Naperville, the Loyola University Medical Health System, which I'm a part of the Department of Ophthalmology, Rosen Optical sent the children their glasses and their frames, and the student volunteers for optometric services to humanity donated glasses that I took.